Shut up. The foot is on Triple M. The weekend is here.
Oh, look it.
And so is Triple M footy.
And don't you love it?
You come here to escape the real world.
This is the Friday Huddle.
For the all-new Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Magnificent evening at the Adelaide Oval and a huge game of footy between two teams who are locked in a battle for the eight. Adelaide taking on the Essendon Football Club. That gets underway in 1 hour and 50 minutes time. Before that, plenty to come your way. Guests, nice lineup. The senior coach of the Adelaide Football Club, Don Pike, to join us from the Bombers. Ben Rutten joins us. Mark Rusciutto comes in shortly to tell us about apparently the biggest guest in the history of Triple M football that he's bringing to the table. We look forward to that. Nate's got the top five, all the news with Damo, and Judge Juddy will be in action, and the box is here and assembled. Luke Darcy, I'm excited about what Mark Rusciutto could bring to the table.
Howard, I'm excited, full stop. Great to be with you at this fine stadium here in the Adelaide Oval. This is a jam-packed Friday huddle. There's controversy, there's big guests, there's some inside information that needs to be brought to the table. We're a bit nervous about how hard we go on certain issues as well. It's
well,
got
there's a story,
a whole package.
There's a story we've been warned off.
Mm. Yes, we've been got at.
Which is unusual.
No audio.
Nathan Brown is here. Hello to you, Noodles.
Yeah, nice, Howard. I'm like Darce. I'm big Kev tonight. I'm very excited about this game. Also very excited. I've had 2 days here in Adelaide and thoroughly enjoyed it.
Fantastic. Yeah. We'll get to that shortly. Just
Mate
you and Christina?
Just me and Christina. Just
How'd you go for conversation?
Very, very good. Good. Very good. I wrote down a little bit of a line or two on the plane on the way over. She was watching a movie and I had so many things to talk about at dinner last night because there were six other people at the table. So it was great.
Well done to you. Damien Barrett's here as always.
Howard, good evening to you. And in true Triple M style, while we may have been warned off certain topics, there's only one way to deal with everything that we've been told not to talk about, isn't there?
Where I get to Chris Judd. Hello to you, Chris. Another quiet week.
Great to see you guys. Another good week. Clearly disappointed I wasn't able to travel. I mentioned to you and I was our Triple M boss. I was keen to make the journey over, but going to be a wet night for team balance. He wants someone with a little bit more leg strength, so he's gone with Mark Rusciutto, but very, very disappointed not to be there.
And obviously we weren't at the production meeting where we said, let's not say that Juddy's not here. So nicely done right off the top there, Judge, yep. to get things underway. We're going to have a chat to you about your week and what's happening at Carlton with the greatest possible respect in about 15 minutes' time in the second segment. We all got together last Friday night. Darcy had a really nice night with all our wives.
And it was one moment of awkwardness where obviously Beck Judd wasn't able to attend because of her issues with Nate Brown, which we're still trying to get to the bottom of.
These issues don't exist, Judge, do they?
It's happened for a second time in a row where Beck didn't turn up because
And you've been referenced.
She was very keen to know if you were going, Nate, and when I said you were, she got ill and went. By the time I'd gotten home, she felt much better, which was peculiar. But
me and Beck get along fine. We get along famously. I saw Beck with the kids at a play centre not that long ago, maybe 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that might be
very inquisitive about my new shoes. And you think I are strange questions. She looked at me and she said, have you ever weighed your shoes? Very strange.
Well, the shoes are a big issue and they came up over dinner. It's just reminded me because you told us that Christina brought them from a present for you in New York and brought them home.
You did.
Christina told a very different story than she does.
She was just playing up to the crowd that night.
She was in great form. I tell you what, the judge, that's him in his absolute sweet spot. He was solo. He was head of the table. He was holding court in a big way, given his other partner was home. And he touched on an interesting subject, Juddy. He really started drilling down into how the team had proposed to their better halves, Juddy.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt Beck holds me back. I'm a lot better without it, to be honest. But that was one of the things I was introduced to Triple M for, was to take it out of the cave. And I've always been a very sensitive type of man, very comfortable talking about my feelings, but I've always felt you guys sort of play the tough guy role a bit much. So I did take it upon myself to dive into just how you guys proposed and get some of the innermost details of your relationship.
Did you have someone that jumped out of the team?
I mean, the big nose producer sounded like a 2 week extravaganza. His proposal, didn't it?
That sounds like a man had a real guilty conscience when you start organising choppers, film crews, her family,
her friends.
You've done something horribly wrong in the past is my perception.
Even though we'd had a couple of wines, everybody's got a pretty good memory of how the judge over there proposed to Beck. Do you remember that?
Because we did prize that out of him. He was sort of steering the ship. What happened, Nate?
Well, I didn't quote anybody else in my proposal. I just said, Christina, I love you. I love to marry you and spend the rest of my life. The judge has actually quoted Dick Pratt
in
his proposal. Yeah. And I'll paraphrase here. He said, Beck, Dick told me to find someone who improves the areas that I'm deficient in. Will you marry me?
Well, I said it a lot more eloquently than that, but it was a good point the late Dick Pratt made, and one I felt relevant to bring up as I was putting a ring on my beautiful wife's finger.
Exactly heartfelt, is it?
Be strong in the areas that you're weak. That was the quote. I thought Nath muffed it a bit, to be honest.
Have you ever almost got into a fight while you're being with somebody else when you're proposing to your wife like the Big Duke?
Well, I just came across someone who was particularly annoying, Nate, as you well know. And I panicked big time, Juddy, as I told you the other night. That was an extraordinarily disappointing result for me. I'd asked Beck's dad, so I couldn't come home from Daleswood without doing it, and had it all set up, had the restaurant organised, had them ready to bring the ring over, and this absolute peanut next to me.
This is pre-Zen.
Peppering me. Yes. And so I bailed. I bailed out on the night. I couldn't do it.
Were you about to do to him what you did do to Bob Murphy on the
That was a chance. That's probably not ideal if you sort of punch someone and then propose. Probably not ideal. I wouldn't have thought it.
But then you went on the run the next morning, Duke, didn't you? Went on a big run with your lovely wife, Beck. Came back into the hotel, put the fire on, and I'm assured it was about 58 degrees in that hotel room.
It wasn't exactly as planned.
And you've got the fire on.
All's well that ends well on that front, Nate. We've got a couple of big, big, powerful guests have wandered into the Triple M box here.
Brian Taylor's wandered in.
Brian.
Jeez.
We're just talking about proposals, Duck, funnily enough.
You've had a few.
Anyway, Duck's not in here, so we can't really.
It's not great radio. When
it's not.
Someone doesn't have a microphone in front of them.
These two are jealous too of the camaraderie in the Friday huddle. They bag us on the Saturday.
Really, they don't enjoy the fact that there's a little bit of genuine rapport that goes on.
We don't like each other on the Saturday rub.
Well, that's
anymore.
Very clear. I mean, is there a bit of Saturday jealousy of the Friday team?
Well, you boys are that. You get along that well that Juddy's not even here. Let's be honest. Your biggest name is just said. I don't travel. Well, and you know what? I am Juddy of the Saturday team. I wouldn't travel either.
Hang on, Brian wants the microphone.
It's always better to be a 10-plusser rather than a 55 and under, which is the demo you guys fill. But we fill all ages. All ages.
Oh, he's gone a rating sort of straight to the data.
Normally,
it's Brian.
Normally that's left to going at other stations rather than with our own.
It's an internal battle. We don't need to air our dirty laundry.
He's anyway, brought a Friday v Saturday battle to the day.
Anyway, BT and I are busy. So.
All right. Nice
coming in,
and we're talking engagements. The one that really caught my ear was Damo's, from what I could gather, was told to propose.
Sounded more like a hostage situation.
Yeah. Damo's. I'd gone to live in... thanks for raising that, Howie. I was hoping you might just slot on to the next topic. But in the true extent of openness, I'd gone to live in Brisbane at reasonably short notice, and Janine and I'd only just started going out, basically, and then there was no plan for Janine to come up quickly.
It's been about 10 weeks, you said.
Let alone 5 days after I got there, and then the first Saturday night after she got there, I had no inkling of thought to propose on that night, but an hour later I had. So
she forced you into it.
I was going to do it. It just wasn't going to be that night. So it was rather
a couple of years
unromantic.
Later.
At least a couple of months later.
Now you're encouraged and you've done very, very well. So it was a very nice dinner all round.
Just took you a long time, Howard, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it took me a while to get my ducks lined up, but I eventually got there.
How long did it take you from day one to the day wedding?
We rate Erica very, very highly.
She's so much so that I went home and she stayed on. And,
yes.
which is a common pattern. Yeah. We like that about Erica. But so why did you take so long? Were you sort of just hedging your bets a little bit? Or?
Well, I think as she told you on the night that she wasn't that keen to get married. So now you've gone to my heart and soul and I might get a bit emotional about it, but she didn't want to marry me, Dar. So I had to wait to the right particular time, which was 5, 6, or 10 years down the track. And very happy with the way it went as well.
You should be.
Thank you. Thank you. News, Damo. We might just get a little bit of news. Let's not touch on Carlton because that's more Juddy's area in the
after
second
the break.
Segment.
After the break. A few layers to the entire Carlton story. And,
there is.
And one of them is our man Judd himself, but we'll get to all the Blues news. I think the biggest news out of it today was Luke Beveridge announcing himself, Dars, and you, I'm assuming, would have had an awareness of this prior to today, that he has re-signed for 3 more years. So he's added 2021, 2 and 3 to the deal that he had. So, yeah, it was obviously come at a time when St Kilda Footy Club, I believe, would have, and maybe has already, had already made a phone call to him, given he has got a connection with that club. But just takes him off the table.
Yeah, I had no awareness of that at all, Damo, until someone told me today. I was over in Adelaide earlier, but that doesn't surprise me at all. And what surprised me has been some of the commentary in the last 6 months. It's hilarious. Listen, you can pull off one of the great sporting victories in 2016 a couple of years ago, and then you only need to lose three games in a row, and there are certain sections of the media actually start sort of piling some sort of pressure as though his job would be in question, which I found quite strange. So Peter Gordon, the people there would know that as long as that man wants to do it and he's healthy and at the top of his game, you'd keep him around. He's a bit of a once-in-a-generation type of coach, that man, Howie.
As usual, the Blues once again have been in the news this week.
They have, and look, it's still the coach search, which they were the second of the three footy clubs to emerge into that space when they moved on Brendan Bolton after round 11, and it was something that was going to happen for some time. Das, the interviewing of candidates, Michael Voss, we flagged a couple of weeks ago, would be one of those candidates, as I believe Brad Scott will be. I also believe Justin Longmuir will get a look in if he wants to, at least have a preliminary chat. But it was the Michael Voss situation during the week that got the news going this morning when his president, the Port Adelaide Football Club president, David Koch, on Sunrise program this morning had a serious issue with his assistant coach, Michael Voss, having an interview on Port Adelaide time with Carlton.
You know, people go for better jobs, that's great, but do it at the end of the season. Focus on the job at hand. We're paying you at the moment. Do your job. Mm. Yes, show your interest.
But there's a warning.
Get a focus. We've got a game to focus on tomorrow. Let's focus.
There was a training session in play when the interview with Voss happened. Now, again, I would have thought a training session would be something that an assistant coach would be able to miss at this stage of the season. But David Koch clearly had an issue with it. I don't know what the issue is, given that assistant coaches go for jobs as senior coaches, and they have to do it at the behest of the club who's got the vacancy. It's an accepted practice within footy. Ken Hinckley doesn't have one issue with it. Other people at Port Adelaide didn't have an issue with it. Otherwise, they would have said, no, you can't do it in that time frame. But David Koch, surprisingly, does.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that he does and that he would choose to air that in that way. I mean, it's look, to be honest, it's a bit childish, to be perfectly honest with you. And I think Ken Hinckley, when he came from Geelong to Port Adelaide, you know, I'm assuming he had conversations with people while he was still being employed. It's just the nature of the way it works. It works that way in business. Everyone's mature enough. Do you think Michael Voss is going to have a negative impact on the group tonight or can't actually focus on his job at
tomorrow,
Port Adelaide? Port Adelaide when they play tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah. And also, too, just on the habit now and the acceptance of players talking to other clubs within season, this club dragged Scott Lysette out of West Coast, and they started doing it in May, June, July of last year, a year in which that club and he won a premiership at the Eagles. So it goes on. If David Koch is going to have that attitude, he has to have it across the board. And if he wants to be pure about it, don't allow his staff to speak to players in season.
We should be encouraging assistant coaches, particularly champions like Michael Voss, to be going after senior coach job. That's why you become a coach, you become an assistant coach to one day hopefully be the main coach. And does David Koch, I've never met David Koch, but does he understand how the coaching part of it works? Obviously, he's very good at what he does in other areas, but I just find
those
comments
a little bit disrespectful.
I think he comes from the
corporate governance model, and that's, you know, his angle around being able to poach someone who's under contract, and there's an element of that, but I think common sense would prevail. How'd he go in his interview, Jaddy, Michael Voss?
Sorry, they're all really good points you guys made. I don't have a whole heap to add to it, but mate, we've had that many coaches linked to this job already. And as you guys know, I won't be running a commentary on who's in and who's out. And when I have tried to dance around, it hasn't been overly successful at this stage. So I'll leave it with what you guys have said, which has been absolutely outstanding.
The fact that Juddy's brought a prepared statement with him tonight would suggest that he's got a different tack. So,
well, look, you've been very much of the opinion, and that's fantastic work on the radio by Chris, and he's a radio star. But you have always been of the opinion that he doesn't quite cross over to television
I'm not sure you put that solely on me. I might have perpetuated that at times, that the bright lights get, you know, reflection issues. And And I wasn't happy with what happened Monday night. I didn't see it, but secondhand. They're not a happy hunting ground at the moment for Juddy, as fully classified.
Well, Damo, what exactly did occur on classified on
and
Monday
night? And I think
night?
You're partly to blame, Damo.
Why would that be, though?
Selling our man down the drain on a bit of a gotcha sort of style.
I think you'll hear that word in a moment. Of all the words he's used in the past couple of weeks, that was the one that really annoyed me when he described the show as a gotcha.
Well, let's have a listen to Juddy on classified the other night.
But at the end of the day, I'm juggling some dual roles, and particularly being on this show, which specialises in gotcha-type moments, there's some challenges there. So I've got to be more precise with the words I use to avoid these headlines in future.
It was hardly a gotcha moment, though. Damien asked a pretty specific question. I'm sure you knew it was coming. I
think the analogy is fine. But certainly to continue on a show like this, where it is filmed as live and with three more experienced media performers than me, I've either got to become a more accomplished media performer or decide it's not the right space for me to be in.
Yeah. Are you weighing that up?
I need to improve my media performances, yeah.
That's an on-air resignation for me.
I've never heard anything quite... This is a man who has...
You've got in his head.
Me, do you reckon?
With all those comments that he's no good on telly, you've got into his head.
He's handed in his papers.
I've just got a lot of strings to my bow at the minute. I mean, you guys, you specialise in your media, you use your fancy words. I'm running a major business here in South Melbourne. I've got a lot of things on my mind, Howard.
I've never heard you put three other people ahead of you ever in anything.
Oh, no, they've been doing it for a long time. They do a good job, so I think there's nothing wrong with
Deep
any of that.
Dan, I think you think you're better still.
The thing is, Das, I always thought he was mentally impregnable, our man, but the constant harassing that he's got, that he's not good on television, I think it's perpetuated now.
You think we maybe have unravelled the judge, which I take no joy in that at all. Juddy, there is a famous story. There was a newsreader that they told me, working at Channel 10, and they'd been devoting their life to being a newsreader, done all the work, had all the media training, and the newsreader falls over on this particular night, and you're on. And so they get there, sitting in that very cold studios, no one next year, and they can't do the countdown. 10, 9, 8, you're going live, your first time on. It gets to count 4, and this newsreader goes, abort, abort, pulls the microphone out, jumps out of the studio, gets in the car, and has never been seen before. Is there a chance that's going to happen to you?
No chance. Look, it was a fiery show in moments last week, but that's all water under the bridge. Very much looking forward to getting back there on Monday night, Duke.
Which is good, because, Juddy, I was watching live, and I'm a massive fan
watching,
of your work. Yes, I was watching.
I don't think you were.
No, I was watching. I'd never miss Classified. It's quite late, so I'd tape it and get up the next morning and then watch it. And I was watching it with great joy because I love everyone on the show, and I think you all do a fantastic job. You know what it reminded me of?
What's that?
Mel Meninga.
Just a person out there making sure that I was... I'm buggered. I'm sorry. I have to resign.
That's what it reminded me of.
Oh, Howard. I'm out of here.
Can you see the similarities? You're bringing your own audio to bring him down now.
No similarities at all. That's hurtful, Howard. I thought you had my back over there.
No, I do. Anyway, you'll be back on Classified on Monday
night. Looking forward to it, Howard.
Chris, in all seriousness, yes. It is a difficult situation where you're a media performer and you're in a situation when you're on the board, and every time you come into the media, you're asked about the situation at your football club. It is a difficult situation to negotiate.
Oh, well, it is. I mean, you're trying to say... opinionated content that some people will find interesting. And I'm currently in a board process where we're really committed to not revealing too much about the process. So juggling that mentally is a challenge, and clearly that's what I pointed out last Monday night.
Mark Ricciuto's coming by. He's managed that without too many drama. The big Ricciuto just wades his way through controversy. It gets punchy toward you, Dan.
Yeah, I know that.
That's for sure.
That's what I'm referring to.
The Carlton coaching situation, how you're reading it, Damo, we'll leave Chris out of this conversation.
I still feel they will reserve the right to go back to Alistair Clarkson for the Hail Mary, possibly for the second, third, fourth time. But outside of that, it will be a very thorough, exhaustive process, one they're not worried about a time frame on.
Ross Lyon chance?
Nah, I'd be ruling him out before it even starts, Stas. I mean, again, I may be wrong in saying that to you so categorically, but I just could not see him being there from what I'm hearing for reasons that exist. I just don't see him being at Carlton next year, if indeed he's not at the Dockers.
Brett Ratton's name came up during the week.
Yeah, don't see him being at Carlton either. Deservedly in the mix at St Kilda. He's got six games now as a runway to re-establish himself as a senior coach. Regardless of result, he will be given a full process St Kilda interview style. But no, I don't see him back at the Blues.
Wandering into the studio, a man, well, Darcy's a legend of the Adelaide Football Club, Mark Rasciutto, eight-time All-Australian board member and many other things. Good evening to you, Root.
Thanks, Howie. How are you?
Very well. A really big game of footy for your footy club tonight, and obviously the Bombers, the way the ladder is looking at the moment.
Yeah, sure is the old eight-point game. So both sides are a bit up and down, like probably most of the competition, to be honest. But biggest obstacle for Adelaide, I think, is trying to slow down the Essendon half back line. The speed's enormous, and Adelaide have had a little bit of trouble with that. So see if they can curtail those boys.
Das, we've had some big guests on this show this year.
Well, our big nose producer likes to set a challenge to a member of the team. And can you roll through a big guest, Roo? And Howie dropped a few of his cricket names, and they've come on. Warnie.
Gilchrist.
Greg Williams was brought to the
judge. Brought that to the table.
Judd Corp.
Yep.
Rashid, have you delivered something tonight or not?
Oh, I thought my job was special comments, not assistant producer. But the pressure was coming thick and fast from the eastern states over the last couple of days.
Is it true that you had landed a big guest and he's let you down and fallen over? Can you start with that? One of the biggest names ever.
I can confirm that I have been let down.
Who by?
Oh, do you want me to go with it?
That
narrows down the...
it's a big state, Roo.
Tony Mondra. but he's let me down plenty of times. Don't worry about that. So I'm happy to put him in.
What happened to Mods? Because we word did get through that the Mods was going to join us. And
probably a good thing that he's not, to be honest.
Is he otherwise occupied or did he...
Yes, he's got a few functions happening today and he was a bit concerned he might have had a couple before he got here. So I think it's probably...
There was a request from my house. My lovely wife wanted Matthew Liptak. Big fan of Matthew Liptak.
Yep, there's lots of girls that go and see the doctor.
He's a highly sought after
knee surgeon
now, isn't he?
Yep, yeah, very successful.
Had a lot of fans in the day.
Great fella.
Okay, so it's
very
not,
happily married.
It's not Matty Liptak?
It's not Matty Liptak.
Okay. Mm. Is it bigger than Modra?
Depends how you grade bigger.
Ooh. Star factor.
Star factor. It's up there. Yeah. Might be more.
What about my personal favourite out of Adelaide, the greatest player the Hawks have ever seen, Darren Jarman? What's he doing?
Well, I can't. You can't keep going. Do you want me to tell you something?
No. Well, they're going to appear in 40 minutes' time.
They're going to appear live.
If you keep knocking them over,
they're going to come into the actual
They're in the box. Okay. They're in the box, aren't they?
Could be Jars. You never know.
Is it on the phone or live?
No.
It's Rhett Biggles.
I said Yomi.
Big Biggles, I reckon. He's organised Biggs.
Biggles, no.
Rhett's got a new pair of Nike sneakers, I reckon. He'll be up in the box shortly.
He has to.
Still owe him 100 for the last
one. All right, well, we'll just put that on ice for a moment, Roo. So that'll be in about 40 minutes' time. The big guest, who's not Tony Modra, it's not Matthew Liptak, but it still could be Darren Jarman, which would be very, very, very exciting. All right, it is time for...
In the world of AFL, there is one modern-day player that rises above all else.
I'd be happy to put my name up as the chairman.
Whose opinions and judgments we respect.
I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
The situations are real. The verdicts are final. This is Judge Juddy.
All yours, Chris.
Thanks, Howard. And the best on ground votes this week go to Steve Hocking, who clearly said that he doesn't want tackling to be a feature of our game. And I was ahead of the game of this. Tackling is a blight, and you shouldn't have to do it. I think each team needs probably a couple of blokes to tackle, and they're the ones that can't kick Duke. And they can tackle for everyone. They can do other jobs too. They can fill up the drinks bottles and they can give people a high five after they kick a goal. But we need to get rid of tackling out of our game. It's not contributing anything. And there's too much
designated tacklers, you reckon, Juddy?
I think so. That's all you need.
Just get a couple of lightweights who can't play the game, and I like it. A
couple of meatheads. Worst on ground votes this week. One vote go to our number one man, Elon Musk, and his new venture, Neuralink. Now, before I explore Neuralink, I will give credit where credit's due. Last time we touched in on Tesla, their share price had dropped down to $180. They are back up to $253, Duke, after a reasonable quarter, but they're in trouble. But Neuralink, which he's allegedly sunk $100 million into, plans to insert Bluetooth-enabled implants into people's brain.
Oh,
and Elon says this will give people many benefits, one of them being telepathy. And he had a couple of important things to say about Neuralink and the safety features that come with it. Says, if you're going to stick something in a brain, you want it not to be large. And I think that's a good point that Elon makes there. He's a very clever guy. He also said the interface to the chip is wireless, so you have no wires poking out of your head. That's very important. And I mean, hard to fault Elon on that. It's complicated, but those two points are very important. Two votes for worst on ground this week go to Facebook subsidiary Instagram after they decided to ban likes during the week, Duke, because they were worried about people's mental health.
Okay.
And there's, you know, I mean, that's fine. That's fine. But there's always unintended consequences when you make a decision like that. And I've had it on very good authority that some of the other radio stations have joined forces and applied to ACMA, the Radio Association, to ban ratings on Friday night. Such is the damage that's happening to their ego. And they've said it's good enough for Instagram, it's good enough for us. So Facebook, they get the two votes. And three votes for worst on ground this week goes to FaceApp, the app that's taking the world by storm, where people take a picture of themselves and then it makes you look older. And here's some stuff we've uncovered about FaceApp during the week.
While millions of FaceApp users wonder, what do I look like decades down the road?
Oh my gosh.
Lawmakers are now wondering, what is this Russian-based company doing with all your photos? On Wednesday, Senator Chuck Schumer sending this letter to the FBI and FTC calling for an investigation into whether personal data uploaded by millions of Americans onto FaceApp may be finding its way into the hands of the Russian government.
I'm really concerned about this, Duke. I've explored their terms of conduct, and basically they can do whatever they want with these stored photos. And I'm just really concerned because in my case, there could be some young Russian bloke using my face on his Tinder app to acquire hotties over there in Russia. And it's a real, it just makes me nervous. It's not something you guys need to concern yourself over. But for me, this sort of stuff makes me very, very worried. Yeah.
So that's a true story. If you've used that app and everyone, you know, my kids were all over it the other day. So by doing that, you've allowed your photo can be used by someone in Russia for whatever they like.
They can even use it for advertising purposes in the terms of conduct. So LeBron James has taken a photo of his head. Technically, in their terms of conduct, they can now use that for advertising purposes.
Check the fine print.
Hey, Judge, a very nice addition. A question I had for you.
Yes, Howard.
As the Instagram king and queen of Australia, you and your delightful wife, how are the Judge feeling about the lack of likes on Insta?
It's really hard for us. I mean, again, for someone like you where you get three or four likes, you could probably ring around, you know, your parents and a couple of mates, you work out how many likes you would have gotten with your photos anyway. But for someone like me with a huge following, Duke, it's been a big blow, but you just pick yourself up off the canvas and you keep punching.
That's all you can do. That's all you can do.
What do you refer to it as, Jody? The beast that has to be fed? You and your social media use, is that right?
I've never referred to it as that, Damien. No.
What is it? What is the phrase you use?
I don't know. This is your story, Damien.
I think you have referred to it as that.
The great Mark Rusciuto is with us. Rusciut, are you a social media operator? Where do you sit on that?
Very light on Twitter, just to get the information for Triple M and the Brekkie Show in the morning. So
what's your handle, Roo? At 8 time? What is it?
Very straight to the point.
The grandstand. Call him over here. Yeah,
no, it was great that the Roo told us last time when you had your little 2-week offer, Duke, was that the best year he ever had was coincided with Duck came in and he won the Brownlow and pretty much went out every weekend and got on the source, but won the Brownlow, played the best football.
And was runner-up the other year.
Yeah.
Had 2 years with him. Yeah, best and fairest both years and first and second in the
and you just sunk it.
I never drunk so much in my life. Seriously, you got to have a balance, don't you, with footy? And I think modern football, they've gone too far. They don't have enough fun.
Always a treat when a senior coach joins us on the day or night of a match, and Rhett Biglands is beside one now for Bob Jane T-Marts. Hurry in, buy three, get one free on selected Bridgestone, Dunlop and Hankook tyres. Hello to you, Biggles.
G'day, Howie. Very special welcome to our coach, Don Pike. Thanks for your time. A lot of conversations this week about your midfield and particularly their leg speed. Brody Smith's been getting a look in there. Will he get more time in there again tonight?
Yeah, we'll continue to explore that, and we've got some great hunters in there in terms of the Crouchers and Sloaney and Huey Greenwood, and it's nice to be able to supplement them with a couple of runners in Miller. Knight was in there a bit last week, and obviously Smithers as well. So yeah, we'll see a bit of that tonight.
Just on Sloaney, he's had to deal with many tags over his career. He struggled with them early, but he's added some weapons to his game. What have you seen in his game that's developed with that area, particularly if he gets Dylan Clark tonight?
Yeah, well, look, Clark's been going to Oppo's best mid, so we'd expect he'll head to one of those guys, whether it's Sloaney or the Crouchers. We'll wait and see. But, yeah, Sloaney's, you know, it's like a lot of players. Once you've received the tag and, you know, it takes a little bit of time to work through it, but he's got some different options. It's probably also a mentality around how that looks and works. And, yeah, he's certainly improved as the years have gone on, and he might get another challenge tonight in that space.
Pikey Roo here. Good luck tonight. Tyson Stengel lives with Eddie Betts. Yep. That would have been a tough conversation at the dinner table on Thursday night, and hard for you boys in selection.
Yeah, look, it was, to be honest. I mean, Tyson didn't do a lot wrong last week. Obviously, the side played well and had a good win, and he was he kicked his three goals. And in an ideal world, we would like to have kept him going, but with Lynchy coming back, we felt he's going to add some real potency to our forward line and to our ball movement as well, and keen to get him back in. And unfortunately, someone had to go out, and it ended up being Tyson. But I'm sure we're going to see plenty more of Tyson. We like what we saw last week, and we think he's got some real tricks and something to offer at the AFL level.
Biggle spoke about potential taggers at your end, and then you look at the Bombers, and they've won five of their last six, and the only game they've lost, they've actually been tagged from the half-back line in McKenna and Saad against West Coast. Is that an option tonight?
Yeah, look, it's something we've spoken about. We're really mindful of, obviously their run off half-back with the two guys you mentioned, plus, you know, Gleeson, and obviously Shields, a ball carrier as well. So, you know, we'll be keeping an eye on that and seeing how that works. Obviously, from a starting viewpoint, whether we start that way or not, it's probably unlikely. We're more likely to take more of a team defence view on that and see if we can shut that down early, and then if it gets out of control, we might have to do something about it.
Hey, Pike, congratulations on the year so far. I feel like you're really well placed, but you had a poor game a couple of weeks ago. It happened to be the showdown against Port Adelaide, and I think you handled the media particularly well, but tell us what it's like in this city when you have a poor game against Port Adelaide. It just seems that it ramps up to a level that's almost hard to comprehend. Did you sense that?
Oh, look, it was a disappointing half of footy. It was, you know, as I said at the time, it was as bad a half of footy as I've been involved with in my time here. And, you know, without digging in too much detail, it's sort of one of those weird ones where, you know, we conceded six goals in 15 minutes of footy and we only had about 15 possessions. We just couldn't get our hands on the ball, and for some reason, credit to Port, they played really well. But, it's always, throughout the year, you've got to look at these things in context as well. And yep, it was a bad half, and we've got to put that behind us. And, you know, the players responded really strongly last week, and we get another chance tonight. And in what is a vital game for the year, we've got two teams on 9 and 7, and, you know, we're by no means guaranteed to proceed beyond the end of the home and away. So we've got six games to earn ourselves a spot to be able to participate in the final series, and that's our opportunity tonight.
Don, the Bombers are forced to go with a makeshift rucking structure given the unavailability of Bell Chambers and from last week Clark. So McKernan obviously will spend some time in there. Do you think Brown will be the other one that helps him most?
Well, they've got a few options there. The hooker's done it in the past. Obviously, when Bell Chambers went down a few weeks back against GWS, they used hooker with some success in the last quarter and a bit. Hartley's done a little bit, we know, at VFL level. So we probably expect they'll use a combination of those guys. Whether Brown comes in that mix, I don't know. But, you know, from our viewpoint, you know, most important is we say, well, if we can get an advantage in that space through O'Brien and Jenkins and our midfielders, we want to maximise that. So really important we get out and we're really proactive around the stoppage and, we go to work and try and get that advantage.
Speaking of the rucks, word has just filtered through from the chairman's club that Riley O'Brien has just signed a 2-year contract extension. Pikey, that's good news for the club.
Yeah, fantastic with Riley signing on. That's great news for the footy club and obviously great reward for Riley and the work he's put in, you know, to be playing the footy is. It's great to have him on board for another couple of years.
Coach, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the Adelaide Footy Club tonight.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate that.
Senior coach of the Crows, Don Pike, joining us. Ben Rutten, not too far away as far as the Bombers go. Damo, comments continue to...
Just ask Roo, sorry, just quickly. You're obviously a board member, footy director at the Adelaide Crows and have dominated this town. How often are you in contact with the coach, Roo?
Probably weekly, I suppose.
Yeah. Yep. Do you go through, team performance? Is it just a checking in with them?
At times, you go through it. I like to keep my distance a little bit, but you also got to have your finger right on the pulse in that role. So, you know, you can do everything you got to do. It's a tough role, and if you do it half-hearted, you get an ordinary result.
The showdown was a pretty bad beat, particularly in the second half, but were you surprised about the commentary around it? Around Eddie Betts. I mean, he hasn't had his best year, but he's been going okay. All of a sudden, he has a bad game in that one. And I was seeing articles and on Twitter, media people saying, is this the end of Eddie Betts? Comes out and plays well against the inferior opposition the next week. But people are pretty quick to jump on and want to bury somebody if they don't have a great game in a big game.
I think the forward line is the hardest place to play now than it ever has, to be honest. There's not too many forwards shooting the lights out, is there? And that game was an embarrassing second half of the football club. I said it on Fox Footy in the second half, and then Dom Pike backed it up in the press conference. So no one was hiding away from that. And when you don't move the ball properly, it's harder for the forwards, isn't it, Brandy? You know that more than anyone. And look, Eddie Betts, probably the knock on him this year has just been the defensive side of things. He's still kicking goals. I mean, I think he's on 32 for the year, so he's going pretty well. But, you know, it's very, very important to keep the ball in. And tonight, with Essendon's speed off half-back, that's one of the jobs they have to do really well is hold the ball in.
Mark, what's your view on the push, and it's now a concerted push, a clever one and a cleverly put together one by Geelong to have a home final at the Cattery?
Oh, look, I think it's good for them, and I totally understand that they would want it there for the home ground advantage, and I think that's in their right to have it there. I haven't got a problem with it at all.
Yeah, they've done it really well. They've put it out there, they've backed away from it, and they've just articulated their stance during the week, and Chris Scott did so when asked about it again during the week.
We're quite clear that our home venue is GMHBA Stadium. It's a little disingenuous to say we play home games at the MCG, so therefore a home final, the MCG would be a home final for us. Our fixture request is crystal clear, 11 home games at GMHBA. Let's not try to soften what may well be the wrong thing by throwing in furphies like, as long as the home final's in the same state, that's okay. Well, they play a couple of home games there because we force them there, so that's okay. I don't think that's a fair fight when you bring those things into it.
Jody, I've done a 180 on this. I used to think that they should be made to play finals at the MCG. I now think that if it's an AFL venue signed off by the league for use, I think it's probably fair game, at least for a first week of final against the lower drawing team. What's your view on the Cats push?
I probably feel like it. If there's no other final in Melbourne, and that's the only one, I think it should be played at the MCG. But I think if there is a final at the MCG, then I think it should be played at their home ground.
Well, based on what, Juddy? Just because it's a bigger, better venue? Not it's, obviously, it's not fair that you know they've got a bigger home advantage down at Geelong, haven't they?
No, it's not fair per se, but it's fairer for the fans, and I think they're an important part of our game. So to say that there's going to be 70,000 fans in Melbourne locked out of seeing a final, you got to weigh up who it's unfair to, and I'd probably skew to them than to individual footy clubs. But I can completely understand their position. It's perfectly reasonable.
Were you also in the area that the grand final should be at the MCG for a long time?
Yeah, well, I am. But, I mean, I understand that you could easily argue that's not fair for the WA and the Sydney and the SA teams. But I like the tradition of that, and I like the fact that 100,000 people can actually get to witness that game live. So yeah. I agree with that decision as well.
That's now locked in until the 60s, I think, isn't it? Yep. The 2060s. And Howie, there's so many deals that have to be acknowledged that also cloud the purity of the Geelong push.
But there's been a history of this. I mean, the Bulldogs' home ground has been Marvel Stadium, Etihad Stadium, and they played the Adelaide Crows in a final there going back a couple of years ago. Now, the perfect fit was Marvel Stadium for the crowd and for you get enough Crows people in, and the AFL and their wisdom chose to play that at the MCG. It's the AFL run the final series. It's their discretion. If I was Geelong, I'd be pushing everything I could because that is the biggest home ground advantage in the competition. But yet,
they probably make more money too out of playing down there because they own it, don't they?
Absolutely.
But so yeah, it's AFL ground.
The last 10 years, Geelong have averaged 74,000 at their finals at the MCG. The GMHBA fits 32.
Yeah.
You're still, as an AFL person, you prefer to see those fans miss out on watching the final.
No, I'm with you. Okay. I think it makes sense. You got the MCG. You use it every time. I think the history says it will. I'd be very surprised if, unless it's against the Gold Coast Suns, they're not going to get a home final.
Bob Jane Teamarts, Red Biglin's on the boundary, Biggles.
Joined by Ben Rutney, oversees the entire team's defensive unit. Good luck tonight, Truck. Michael Hurley is a big loss for you guys. How do you plan to cover his rebound?
Yeah, look, he certainly is. He's been a really solid figure for us back there, and he leads the boys really well. So we'll have Paddy Ambrose come back, who's missed a couple of games with a bit of a quad injury. So he's an experienced defender as well. But, you know, you can't replace players like that, but you just sort of expect and hope that the rest of the back six and sort of pick up a little bit of slack and fill the void there.
0-3 on the road. Have you changed any part of the routine for today?
No, not so much. I mean, we're, you know, I think we won last year, the last game here last year against Port Adelaide. So the boys don't hold only fear of the stadium. But we're playing obviously a quality team in Adelaide, and we just need to make sure that we try and get our game up and going and compete really hard in the contest. And that's the kind of the key to every game, no matter where you're playing them.
Truck Roo here, mate. Good luck tonight. Speed off half-back's been super dangerous for a long time at Essendon, but over the last month or so, forward half turnovers have improved and I think increased your scoring by a couple of goals a game. Has that been a real focus since the bye?
Yeah, look, it has. I mean, I think we certainly do have some great run and ball users off half-back, but it's probably not the sustainable brand of footy that we're after. To rely on that, it's certainly a bonus to get some rebound and scores from your back half. But we're just continually building our game and wanting to play the game more in our front half, like most teams are. And Hurls and the back line have been setting up pretty well behind the ball. And we've got some pretty lively pressure forwards ahead of the ball as well. So if we can play that sort of game, that's kind of what we're after.
Ben, Sean McKernan has blossomed this year. Probably been his most consistent year. Do you put it down to just having his body right and getting a good crack at it, a combination of players out? But how has he turned it around this year?
Yeah, look, certainly the continuity plays a big part, and he had a terrific pre-season, and he had a little bit of a hammy that he missed a couple of games for him, but certainly without Joey Danaher there, his importance to our forward line functioning well has increased, and he's kind of stepped into that and really thrived on that opportunity. So he's been fantastic for us, and he's going to have to shoulder a bit more of the ruck duties tonight without Zach Clark.
Hearing the voice of Ben Rutten, who's an assistant coach at the Bombers, looking after their defence. Hey, the big track, you've seen three coaching senior roles up for grabs at the moment. Does that sort of heighten your interest one day to become a senior coach?
Oh, I don't know about heightening, but it's certainly an ambition of mine, down the track at some stage. But at the moment, we're sort of head down, bum up, and fully invested in what we're doing here. And this is a really important game for us, and trying to just continually build what we've got here. But it's something that I have some ambitions to do down the track.
Good luck with that, and good luck to you on the footy club tonight, Ben.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
The Friday Huddle team sat down at their mahogany table to come up with the next big idea in radio. Then someone said,
hey, what if we do a countdown?
This is the Friday Huddle's Top 5.
Back to the original owner of the segment.
It sort of all started here, and this is where the whole thing went off the rails. We've tried to save Nate.
Yep.
And we've gone back to him. What do you think, Howie?
I wouldn't be patting yourself on the back after last week, Duke. But let's get straight into it. And it was on the back of last week where you accused the judge of having an impersonator when he said he didn't say those things that he said on Footy Classified. So I thought I'd come up with the top five fakes, impersonators and mistaken identities.
Really?
Okay. So that's how we're rolling out. And in honour of Roo being here, I couldn't fit it in, but I thought it was a great impersonation of a footy club, the Crows, second half of the showdown a few weeks back.
So
put that off the top. Now, the number five, the best impersonator of all time. And I had to go long and hard for this one to find something that I could actually play is Billy Birmingham, the 12th man.
Okay, then a quick roll call. Tanny, Howe, Max.
Yeah, I'm here, Ridge.
Rod.
Yeah.
Ian.
Yes, Rich, I'm here.
Bill.
Good evening, Richie. Good evening, all. Sorry, I'm a bit late.
Not good enough, Bill. Okay, here's the story. We're going to kick it off with Bill and Tony again.
Hey,
now come on. Look, we all know that the Bill and Tony niggling aggro thing's working its ass off. The viewers love it. So come on, let's work as a team, please, and do it my way.
So that's Billy Birmingham. He set the market. He set the market for impersonators.
Billy Birmingham,
the top five. Hang on, mate. It's a football show.
This is all sort of stuff that can just derail a whole team.
It's good audio. It's good audio. But a lot of legalities around using that as well. Did you check that with Billy and his legal team? Absolutely not. Now, number four.
Very litigious, Bill.
How excited I was when I found out there was an impersonator called Howard X.
Oh, yeah.
So Howard X, here he is.
My name's Howard X, and I impersonate Kim Jong.
So he's a Kim Jong-un impersonator, Howie, but the thing that got me, and now he'd been kicked out of Vietnam only a couple of weeks ago for impersonating Kim Jong-un.
What are you doing,
He was deported. But
why is that on the list, Brad?
Someone screened this or not? I don't know.
There's similarities to our man over there, Howard.
Yes.
So this is what he told Time magazine not that long ago.
Oh, no.
If you like a man with power, I'm your guy. And this has got Howard, our Howard,
he likes
written
power.
All of it. And if it doesn't work out, Howard, I see an opportunity here for you if the 6x6 doesn't quite work. work out to become an impersonator for Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, that's good. Get it? Because you look like Ellen Howie.
thanks, Chris. Hey, we didn't pick up the link there, Chris.
Nice. Oh, you know what? I've never ever heard that before.
But... Oh, good have you not? It? I have.
I'll pay that.
Beautiful woman, Ellen, too. You got a beautiful segue in there, Judd, because the next one is about you. Beck does a radio spot on another radio station and talks about Juddy. They call him Juddy a lot. Juddy this and Juddy that. But this is what she played during the week.
Be really, really careful because you're new at it. You're going to fall off and it's going to come and it's going to hit you in the face and you're going to break your nose. It's already been broken like five times. It's a bit of a mess. He's like, no, I'll be right. I'll look out for it. So he goes out. First crack, gets absolutely dumped. Surfboard smashes him in the face. Broken nose.
And he's a big unit too.
He's a big,
he's a big boy trying to ride a wave.
Yeah.
Now, Judd, here's the problem. You're actually impersonating someone with a good rig still. We've all seen the photo that you're running around with Alex Fasolo at training. Actually, Barrett and Howard had bigger arms than you at that point. So stop impersonating someone with any sort of rig.
Big unit was the quote, and that was a good point.
And the last two, and we've heard these ones before, but I couldn't let a man who's bought a $2.2 million Brett Whiteley painting that was a fake off the hook. So here's that audio.
Don't.
A very good mate of mine and Darcy's went to the Madison Square Garden in New York not that long ago, paid $1,000 for some Bruce Springsteen tickets, got to the front of the gate and was turned away, said, sorry, sir, that was a fake. You had a similar issue with a Brett Whiteley painting.
Different scale, Brownie.
Different scale of $1,000, yeah. But and it ended up in court.
Yep.
This is why we struggle to take him out to dinner, Andrew, for these very reasons. He's socially awkward.
This is the first and last interview with Andrew Pridham.
Doesn't see the funny side of it like I do, poor old Andrew Pridham.
Hasn't been back since, Brett.
And what is even more ordinary for him is the Forgers have walked free. They've actually walked free. So they're not going to do any jail time. Yeah, not that long ago. So there's no retribution for him, so it's a bit of a shame. Anyway, let's head on to number one. And this man who did this Rodney Eade impersonation was unbelievable.
You will!
What? Right, okay. Okay. No.
Run, Will! Give it off quick!
Rocker, we can't think. We can't think. Come on.
Come on, Mitchell again!
And the thing about that is you've got two impersonators for one. The bloke that did Lee on camera was outstanding as well.
Oh, no.
There's your top five, Alan.
Very good.
Brownie, I was really worried about that after number two, but you pulled that off. That was very good. Well done. I like it. I like it. No, I was genuinely worried. I was genuinely thought, here we go again. It's going to be another bomb, but it was very good.
It doesn't come in any surprise.
The real Rodney Eade will join us on a Sunday.
My top five.
How will he handle that being played again, Howard?
It's quite a sensitive topic for him. So
it wasn't him, though.
Well, that's true.
He said it wasn't.
That's true. Yeah. Damo?
Yeah, Howie, Jesse Hogan's been ruled out for the remainder of the season by the Dockers. They've dropped that news tonight. He injured his foot again in round 14, Mark, when he went down. They were initially saying that was not related to the navicular problem he had last year. They're now saying that it is. And upon the advice of a specialist after a consultation in Melbourne today, he is out for the remainder of the year. It's been a very ordinary first year for Jesse Hogan at the Dockers.
But Purple, it's not actually a navicular. It's related to, or it is another navicular injury?
It's related to that problem from last year. Okay. This is a quote from Peter Bell. Jesse has suffered a recurrence of the injury to the navicular bone in his right foot. Okay. He'll undergo surgery, then undertake a recovery and rehabilitation program with an estimated time frame at this stage of 16 weeks.
That's serious. Bad. Yeah, when you hear the navicular term, Juddy, particularly recurrence and then surgery on that, it's really, really serious, really makes you concerned.
Dry needling situation, Judge?
No, but it is serious. James Heard had two, but it's incredibly serious, so good luck to him.
Roo, we've had some big guests. Big guests on this show. We mentioned Ponting, we mentioned Gilchrist, we mentioned Warne. The judge brought Greg Williams to the table, a multiple Brownlow medalist. It was put on you this week to produce a guest.
Yeah, it was bullying, I think, it's fair to say, by your producer, but I think I've delivered. I'm comfortable with who I've...
Right, drum roll. We need a drum roll. All right.
like it. AFL Rising Star nominee, 1995. Adelaide Team of the Decade on the halfback flank. He wasn't happy about that. Polly Farmer medal in 2007, a showdown medal in 07. Jim Steins medal, 2005. International Rules captain, 2007. Michael Tuck medal, 2003. Won a pre-season premiership in that same year. All-Australian captain, 2007. Five times All-Australian. Lee Matthews Trophy, 2001. Three best and fairest for the Crows. AFL premierships in 97 and 98. Australian Hall of Fame. Indigenous Team of the Century. Two-time Norm Smith medal winner. I fed him his whole career. Please, mate, welcome Andrew McLeod, everybody.
Wow, Roo.
How are you, Turtle? That's his nickname. Turtle, what is your nickname, Turtle?
Turtle. Your nickname's Turtle.
I call you Turtle. All right.
You've got a big shell on your back.
thanks for coming in. I know you don't like doing too much radio, but I was under as much pressure as I've been for a long time to pull a superstar, so I went straight to Andrew McLeod.
I bet it was a bit of a secret. They locked me out the side. Yeah. Didn't even
you don't get locked out too often, but you still come along to the footy most weeks? Or
this is the second game I've been to, Bru.
Right.
Yeah, and I was just having a feed over there, so I've just given up my half a steak.
So what's the special occasion to come to the footy?
You asked me to come? No, I just came to have a look and sit in the premiership suite, see your beautiful photo up there. like you said, carried me my whole career. But just come and enjoy it. I don't get here too often, but when I do, it's enjoyable.
Andy McLeod, the all-time great, right at the top of the tree.
340 games,
just
club record.
An exquisite player. Looks like he could still play now. Andy, I remember very famously the first game you played against the Bulldogs, and Brandon, you would have been in that team meeting. We had an opposition analyst, and he says, he's a young kid McLeod, and he said, look, he's got a bit of hype about him, but he's slow. Oh. He's dead set slow. He can't move that well if you're playing him. And Mark West was playing with us at the time, who's Bungie's great mate. And Mark West piped up and said, I'm sorry, the brother's lightning. no one's gonna catch him, I tell you what. And can't remember who played on you, but you certainly showed that pretty quickly, mate.
Yeah, I enjoy playing against the boys, and we used to have, like I said, we had a great relationship, and you guys were talking about it just before, where you come up to Darwin and come around to the old folks' home and have a bit of a feed, and it was good fun, particularly in those years when we had a great rivalry in 97, 98. And,
how'd you go in the prelims that year, yourself personally? you kicked how many in one game?
Were you surprised we sent Libba to you?
He kicked seven in the prelim.
Oh, no.
From the middle.
Straight.
Seven straight.
But that was good. But it was good because during the break, we went up to Darwin and I was fishing with the boys and we did some training together. And
not a lot of training from what I remember.
No, a lot of training. Eating turtle up there.
It was good fun. And, you know, just to be able to play on, I guess, those, you know, Libby was great. He was a bit grumpy after that game. But, and Smithy and Jono and the guys and Brownie, well, you didn't really play on anyone, so.
What do you do with yourself now, Bunch?
I run my own programs, Indigenous programs for kids. So I've been doing that for the last 8 years. We do education programs to help them finish their, well, SACE it is here in South Australia, or VCE, I think what you call it over there. But, just to help them. And, it's about, you know, I guess closing that gap and giving kids a better opportunity.
You were so many people's choices as favourite footballer to watch for the time you played it. Who was your favourite?
My favourite?
Yeah. Either teammate or opponent?
Oh.
Who gave you the most joy?
To watch, probably the... I love the duck. So watching Carey, behind Rui is probably the second greatest player that I've seen. he was probably my favourite. But I think I was a bit spoiled in the era that we played in. We all had a lot, you know, Das dominated the competition there for a period. Kuda, I got to play on blokes like James Hurd and Michael Voss, Nathan Buckley game. You know, learned some great lessons of guys like that. So I think, in that era, we were very blessed. And a lot of the times I just used to sit there and watch them, you know, do their thing, which is great.
Well, speaking of Andrew McLeod on the Friday huddle, and very lucky we are to have him in the box. Andrew, what was it like bringing that first Premiership Cup back to Adelaide?
I guess, you know, for a club, it was still pretty much in our infancy in terms of, you know, what was going on. And there was a lot that happened before that. You know, the famous stuff that Blighty did when he came in and, you know, got rid of some of the older guys and gave some responsibilities to some younger players.
Got rid of the captain, the vice captain and the deputy vice captain. Hmm. McDermott, McGuinness and Jarman.
Wow. Yeah. So, that, you know, that was, it was a fair shaker, but, you know, we went through that phase, and it was pretty special to bring that through. We didn't, and I think, you know, as a young group, it probably didn't really sink in until, you know, probably 12 months later, you know, what we'd actually done and how good it was to do it. Obviously, it was, you know, it was great to be the first in the, you know, to do it for the footy club, but then to do it 12 months later, and, you know, Rube missed out. Because of injury and whatnot, and a couple of others, so it was really good at that time. To great time to be involved in footy.
Hey, and there's a legendary story about you, and I've never heard you talk about it. You may have before that. Fremantle Football Club just came into the competition. You went over there, did an interview with Jared Neesham, and you had a couple of earrings in, and he looked at you. Didn't like your attitude. Thought you were you know, maybe not the right sort of type of player, and traded Chris Groome from South Adelaide, went out. Is that your recollection of them? Did that meeting take place?
Yeah.
And did you get a bad vibe out of the coach at the time, Jared Neesham?
Yeah, we did. My old boy and I, we flew from Darwin, actually, business class. It was great. First time I've been in business class. And we got there. And, yeah, it was sort of over and done within about 15 minutes. But he basically just said, look, I heard you're going to be go high in the draft. We've got some pre-concessions. We're going to pick you up. You're going to come over here. You need to get rid of those earrings. Got to learn how to swim. I don't know what swimming is going to do for me in playing footy, but anyway, yeah, probably had to learn to swim. And he just said, you'll be a number of Indigenous boys that we've got, and you'll just... And also looked at my dad and went, oh, I'm not just a number. But anyway, we turned around in my seat and they walked out. They must have been listening behind the little cardboard thing that they had up there, because they had these makeshift offices that we went to, and had this little cardboard petition. And looked at my dad and said, nah, no good. And within 12 hours we were on a plane, I was sitting next to the toilet at the back, and went from business class to the house.
Yeah. King.
And then within 48 hours I became a Crow. They traded me as part of that.
Andrew, the airing last night nationally of the final quarter, the Adam Goods documentary, I'm assuming you've seen it, and the awareness that it will hopefully create for the entire country. Can I just get you to talk about that for a few moments, please?
Yeah, I guess, you know, it is, you know, like most people, and you guys would have seen it, it is quite confronting. And, you know, I think it's the fact that they've gone back and used archival footage and not created any recent interviews or whatnot to actually showcase what it went through. And it is disappointing. I'm good mates with Goodsy. At that time, I'd finished footy and I was away. I don't actually go to footy or watch a lot of footy. And took me about 4 or 5 years to come back to do that. So I saw that, I guess, on the peripheral, and reached out to Goodsy as a mate just to see make sure he was okay. And he was obviously going through a pretty rough time. And so, talking to him and Mickey O about things, and I know that he came back here, but yeah, it is a bit sad. I think as an industry, we let him down, and I've talked about it to a number of people, but I guess, you know, from my perspective, I look at it and said I help kids with a lot of the stuff we do, and look at it from a WHS perspective, and, you know, it's a little bit of that workplace bullying that probably forced him out of the game. Yeah. And it's very sad, and something that we all need to learn from, need to get better, and make sure that doesn't happen to someone ever again.
Have you got a good Malcolm Blight story? Have you, Bungie, or
not really, Rue? But besides, Blighty talking about himself and but no, great man. Yeah, you know, certainly the best coach I ever had, he's a great man.
Andrew, we've only got 50 seconds before we have to let you go. Obviously, there's a lot of discussion about the modern game. When you come to the footy, you enjoy watching it?
Yes and no. Some games good. I like the fact, you know, the competition at the moment is probably the most even it's been. There's obviously a few little aspects that, you know, that they could probably tinker with, but, you know, everyone's got their opinion. I was listening to Sheeds just before. He was talking about taking the wings off and, you know, seeing how quickly people can flood back after that.
16 aside.
16 aside, yeah, he reckons. But, yeah, look, it's just one of those things. It's easier to comment from afar, but when you're out there and you're doing it, it's certainly a different game.
Andrew, a treat to have you in the box. Best of luck with everything you're doing moving forward.
Great to see you.
Yeah, absolutely stoked to have you in the Triple M box. The great Andrew McLeod joining us on a Friday night. Thank well you. Done, yes. Andrew and Roo.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.